What's up, fam? It's Chappelle, and we are back again with another episode of Recap Kickback. That's right, Recap Kickback, where we talk about whatever I want to talk about. That's the premise of the show, and thank you for joining us week to week as we discuss what I want to talk about. And again, that's what we're about to do. So it's the end of Women's History Month. Well, we're kissing March goodbye as we usher in April. It's hot on to Aries season, so I'm in a good mood. And I'm even in a better mood because today we are going to bring you a Women's History Month special here, you know, Netflix's own Shirley. And with me to discuss Shirley, my very own Black Panther, Mari. Mari, what's up?
What is up? Yeah, I'm glad you say you get to talk about anything. Yes, you get to decide what we talk about, but it's a kickback. So everybody gets to toss in they ideas and they thoughts and they discussions, no matter how crazy they sound. So I'm excited to be here to talk about Shirley on Netflix, starring Regina King. We saw this on the docket like months ago. We were like, you know, let's watch it and see what happens. So I'm glad we did, and I'm glad we're gonna have a great discussion about it. I can feel it. See, yeah, no ratchetness today. We gotta like, we're buttoning up.
We're gonna keep it cute this time, huh? It was kind of ghetto last time. It really did.
The last few episodes have been very gutter. I don't know. Maybe we need to get it up out the paint.
Yeah. We shall see. But Mari's right. You know, like I said, I come up with ideas and then Mari lets me know if they're good enough for us to talk about. And so this one definitely caught our eye, and I'm very excited to talk about it because it's a reunion of sorts, y'all. For the people from our OG listeners way back at the Connect on Post Show Recaps or the Insecure days, the Atlanta day. I mean, we've come so far, but it is a pleasure of mine to introduce to Recap Kickback, LaTanya Starks. LaTanya, welcome to the Kickback.
Yay! I'm so happy to be here. I'm finally here at your new house, your new home.
You see it? It's nice, huh? You get into it. We got a white refrigerator though, so don't look directly at it. Yeah, okay. Yeah, not the oh, yes. Listen,
not a white refrigerator.
No shoes on. Let's find you a home. Yeah, it gets kind of ghetto here at the Kickback sometimes, but it has never been better since LaTanya has gotten here. LaTanya, welcome. Where you been at? What you been up to? Tell everybody where you been. What, you know, if they're new here, they might just be new Kickback listeners. They might not know the legendary LK Starks. Tell them all about yourself.
Well, we met during the dawn of post-show recaps, back when it was a thing. It has ceased to be at this point. But yeah, we recapped all kinds of Black shows. We did Insecure together. We did Snowfall together. Me and Mari did Swarm, and you were there as well for one of the episodes. We've had a lot of fun recapping stuff. Not long ago, we were recapping movies like American Fiction and The Color Purple, both Color Purples. So we have a really long history of talking to each other about things on the air. Yes. And so I am here to continue that tradition and to hopefully endear myself to your audience so I can come back again and talk about more stuff with you.
I have a feeling a lot of our audience has been waiting for your return and also will be dying for you to come back after this one, because y'all, we are talking about, first of all, one of our favorite people, Regina King, and talking about this amazing person, Shirley Chisholm, in the Netflix original movie, Shirley. Now, yeah, Mari's right. We saw it coming a mile away. We're like, we got to talk about it. I think we did our biopics, Mari and I did, in February. So for Black History Month, we really got on top of that. Yeah, out the gate with biopics. And so it just made sense to do another one. And I guess we could talk about where this kind of ranks amongst those as we get into it. But I do want to thank everybody for listening, for chiming in on our Hulu, Freaknik, Wildest Party Never Told. Yeah, thank you for the feedback. Thank you for the reviews, all that. We love it. Keep it coming so we have more to talk about, because today we're talking about Shirley. Mari.
From Freaknik to Shirley.
From Freaknik to Shirley. The way the Lord intended. Right.
She's
right.
A podcast that has range.
Yeah, really. She paved the way.
She really did. A member, I believe, of Delta Sigma Theta, who might have come up in the Freaknik documentary. You might have seen him in the background. Not the Delta that Shirley lived for, but the Delta that we got anyway. But listen, Mari, tell us right now, what did you think overall? We're just giving broad strokes here. Mm-hmm. What'd you think about Shirley?
I really liked it, mostly because my knowledge of Shirley Chisholm is very bare minimum. It's like Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream speech to white people. It's like, I was like, Shirley Chisholm, first black woman to run for president. For president.
That's it.
Her campaign was for the people. I remember all that. It was so funny watching this because I was like, oh, Shirley Chisholm and California to me always went hand in hand. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even realize she was from Brooklyn. I didn't realize that like a lot of stuff revealed in this biopic. So I feel like I learned a lot. I learned a lot about her. I feel like I learned a lot about American politics. I want to say back then, but today, like, I'm not even sure, to be quite honest, but I learned a lot. And I just thought it was well acted. I mean, all of the actors, so great. At first, you know, with most biopics, especially ones that are like political leaning, not really like entertainment leaning, at first I was like, okay, all right, can I get into, is there something I can get into this? But like maybe like 10-20 minutes in, I was like, okay, I'm in it to win it, you know what I'm saying? Like the acting itself kind of pulls you in. So I enjoyed it. I'm really glad we got to watch it.
Yeah, me too. Latanya, I think the last biopic you and I talked about with Mari was Rustin, and it was also political, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. What do you think about Shirley? And I guess, what do you think about Shirley in comparison to the last biopic we watched?
I think that they would make a great double feature, don't you? Mm-hmm. I really am. Definitely. I'm a little surprised, I think, by the release date of this movie. It's a little bit baffling to not release it during kind of the like Oscar season push, mm-hmm. and to wait until March to release it, yeah. is odd, because it also could have been released in February if you're not going to mm-hmm. release it during Oscar season. Mm-hmm. So that part, I'm sure, is a lot of Hollywood like mumbo jumbo that we don't know about. Release dates are something that like producers, and Regina King is a producer, an executive producer on this, have to like haggle with people over. So there mm-hmm. had to be something that went into this release date. I just wish that it had been released earlier, because it would have been seen by a bigger audience like Rustin. Mm. I'm not hearing as much talk about this movie as I would like to. And I know it kind of dropped in the middle of the week. That might have something to do with it. But, you know, I feel like Rustin got that push behind it that this movie does not have. And so that's kind of sad.
No, that's a really good point. I haven't seen a lot of talk about this one. And, mm-hmm. and you know, Regina King is a massive name. This cast is massive as well. So, like, as far as, like, star power goes, Lance Reddick, the late Lance Reddick, is in this film. Mm. Terrence Howard, who I was actually surprised to see here, because I just wasn't expecting it. I'm one of those people who, whenever I see Terrence Howard, I kind of flinch just a little bit. And so I was like, oh, we're doing this? Amira Van, Brian Stokes Mitchell, Andre Holland. I mean, so we have some really big names. And so you would think that these would be like at the top of a lot of conversations, but I've seen very little. And I think you're right, Latanya.
Yeah, I'm looking too.
I think Oscar season kind of really was like American Fiction and Rustin. Really just at the front of these conversations. And then it's like, dang, I don't want to be messy, y'all, but you know, when Black History Month ends and then everybody just changed their avatars back to the white stuff that they already was. Like, they removed their black knot off the Instagram page and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It felt like after Black History Month, we're like, all right, we're done with
all
that.
All right, back
to your normally white scheduled programming. And so maybe that's why, Latanya, because, man, have you not mentioned it, I really wouldn't have thought about the lack of discourse I've really seen about this movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a larger discussion about how our movies get promote, how they get made, first of all, mm-hmm. how they get promoted, the names behind them, and what those names mean in terms of Hollywood success. I know that, you know, Rustin, for example, had the Obama's production company behind it. And they have become like huge figures in Hollywood at this point. So they had people rallying behind it. But like, you know, Regina King is not a name to like sneeze at or anything. Like,
right.
Mm-hmm. She is a multiple Emmy Award winner. She is an Oscar winner.
She directed a little bit.
Too, right? She has directed episodes of television shows, but also One Night. What was the name of
One Night in Miami?
One Night in Miami was her directorial debut for a feature. She's done like episodes of Shameless. Mm-hmm. She's directed all over the place. So it just makes me question just like how our stuff gets talked about and by which outlets and what gets prioritized and what doesn't get prioritized. And it's really ironic that with a movie that's all about how Black women specifically are looked down upon and told that they can't in society, that's what they're doing to this movie as well.
Yeah. Especially being released after after the Oscar, not even just after Oscar season, like Oscar eligibility, but like you said, after the Oscars themselves, like once the Oscars, the Golden Globe, all that stuff is done, you know, nobody's really caring about movies that are Oscar bait in a sense. So it's like, this is weird timing. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Also, I mean, I'm somewhat of a Netflix expert. I do have another podcast called Nothing But Netflix, and I see what's hot on Netflix every week. It is part of my job. I go and I check the top 10 all the time, and Netflix will force something into the number one spot like it's no one's business. I mean, if a J-Lo project drops, Kevin James, if any of these big projects, Adam Sandler, their projects are always going to be number one for at least a week. And I know people don't be talking about it or watching that like that. Exactly, for it to be number one. And when I checked the Netflix chart this morning, Shirley was the number four movie in the US today behind, I think number three was Super Mario Brothers. So, you know, I'm just saying, I'm not accusing Netflix of any foul play. I'm just saying that if there's a push to be pushed, maybe don't forget to push the Black stuff ahead to the front, because I'm just not a fan of, you know, Shirley ending so far behind, like on this countdown, when you have movies from 2022, Mel Gibson movies and Super Mario Brothers, all, you know, Shirley in the rankings. And I'm just saying, it's Women's History Month, y'all. Do the bare minimum here. Just give us the number a week.
That's the bare minimum.
A week, y'all.
Netflix's response to you would be like, well, we believe in Black history every month, which is why we release it in March.
Right, exactly. So it's like, so Women's History, no. No. There are women in these other things. Why am I being obtuse? But yes, so that's our introduction to Shirley. We kind of glossed over it a little bit, but of course the cast is iconic. We could talk forever about Regina King, but I do want to talk about Lance Reddick. LaTanya, we lost Lance Reddick last year in March, I believe. Almost, what is it, a year? Almost to the day that this Shirley dropped. I believe it was March 17th, maybe.
Wow.
So it was pretty close on. Seeing Lance Reddick here in this film, it made me forget that he passed away. Because I was watching it, I was so invested in his acting. And about halfway through, I said, damn, Lance Reddick really gone. And then that was it. I was like, ain't nobody told me nothing. You know, it hit me. Again, because Lance Reddick is so good in this role.
Yeah, he is. When he came on screen, I was like, oh no. Because I immediately remembered that he had passed away. But he's really good. Everybody in this this movie seems to have worked with a dialect coach at one point or another for the movie. Because he's really good at like changing his voice a little bit. There were times where he got frustrated with people, where I personally, being the horror fan that I am, wanted to see Papa Legba possess him a little bit, for those of you all who watch American Horror Story. But he was just like a dignified presence in this movie that was 100% behind Shirley, no matter what she did or how lofty her ambitions were. For not even just that time, but for this time. Like, we haven't really seen a ton of other Black women running for president for a reason.
Right. Mari, yeah. I told you I flinched when I saw Terrence Howard. But I know he's one of your faves. So
wait, what?
How'd you feel? Yeah, you don't have
now
to.
Now you're doing this to Mari.
Yeah, you could be yourself here, Recap King Bad Mari. It's okay. Your fave. But yeah, Terrence Howard as Arthur Hardwick Jr. Did you know Terrence Howard was in this movie, Mari?
No, I didn't. And then like I'm not even gonna lie, it took me a minute. I was like, wait a minute.
Wait. Are we still doing this?
Yeah, because I think that first 10 minutes of the movie, he didn't realize he was in the movie, and then he kind of turned it up a little bit towards the middle. So I he was there. He did a pretty good job. I was kind of struggling, like, what is your job in this campaign here, sir? And we find out at the end,
his job was to foreshadow. Becoming her husband. That was his job.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Let's just talk about that for a second. I'm thinking, okay, this is the Shirley Chisholm biopic. They're not going to show Shirley in a negative light, but I don't know a lot about Shirley. I'm like Mari. When you say Shirley Chisholm, I say ran for president. It's like that is the line I was taught in elementary school. Yeah. That's how I remember this woman. So when I see that she's a married lady, but her and Terrence Howard doing a lot of longing handshakes and a lot of staring at each other, I started to close my cardigan up. I said, Shirley, well, what is my Barbara, this is Shirley. Now, what is about to happen? You know, I was like, what are we about to do here? LaTanya, were you already familiar with this story? Did you know where this was going? Or were you like I confused as to why Shirley was making eyes at this light-skinned gentleman?
I was not familiar with this story. I'm probably a little more familiar with Shirley Chisholm just because of how the women's movement did her so dirty. I studied that. But like, with the second that Terrence Howard came on screen, he like reaches out his hand and she goes in for a hug that lasts a little too long. And I was like, oh, okay. Okay, I see what's going on here. But her husband was right there.
The whole time.
Except for when he needed to be, in which case he was off playing with his camera or something. But like, I did not know that this was going to happen. I did, after I saw them exchange that glance and that hug, look up whether or not she stayed with her husband and realized that she in fact did not. And this was her second husband. So
They call me Mr. Magoo because I didn't see none of that shit. I was gagged and gooped at the title sequence. They showed us the corresponding characters and their real life historical figures, told us what they were up to, and I was like, oh, okay. And then it said Conrad and Shirley divorced in 1977. I was like, oh. And then it said Shirley married Arthur in 1978. Then they showed a picture of her, Terrence Howard, and her and her husband. I was like, oh!
The whole time? He's just right there. Look, I have grown accustomed to being suspicious of Terrence Howard, Mari, whenever I see him.
I think that's what it was. I was paying attention.
That is very smart.
I'm not familiar with Terrence his game.
Howard. Yeah. I try not to be familiar with his game, but... You know, there were too many glances. There were too many long-held looks. He brought her food after, like, the big blow-up happened in her campaign headquarters. Mm. You know, like...
It all makes sense now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's still funny to me. Brian Stokes Mitchell is also in this film as Stanley Townsend. And I was like, it's good to see Black King Brian Stokes Mitchell.
What does he do? Who's he from? What's he from? What he do?
Brian Stokes Mitchell is one of those people who've been in everything. I believe he's a Tony Award-winning actor. Several times over, or at least Tony-nominated actor several times on her. I'm trying to see what the biggest role you would know him from, because he's been in like, obviously
from Fresh Prince,
the one who you know, Hillary's boyfriend, the one who was also
in Mr. Robot. I don't know
I only got past, I didn't get past like the first season.
Yeah. He was Rachel Berry's Black Daddy in Blue I'm trying to think of what else he was in. But he's been in everything. I'm always happy to see Brian Stubbs Mitchell because it's just something about him so familiar to me. I've seen him all around. But then I was like, oh yeah, I forgot he was black. No disrespect to the light skinned king, but you know, because I was looking, you know, I was like, okay, mm-hmm. what's going on here? Why did they let this white man into the function? And why is he so mouthy? You know, like, I was like, this man got a lot to say here about what these black folk got going on. I really thought he was going to drop a word and everybody was going to get confused. And so I was like, okay. But Brian Stubbs Mitchell is here. I was very happy to see him. Again, this for me, this felt kind of new, like Rustin, where I didn't know the story. So it felt like I was learning all these characters and historical figures a lot at the same time. Andre Holland playing a Walter Fauntleroy, who I got a good hate into in this film.
I was like, Andre, what are you doing here?
Andre,
a bad guy. I did not trust the moment he wrote on that napkin. I was like, I don't trust him.
You're right, my word on a napkin. And I'm supposed to just follow it. Are you kidding? I don't trust anything you say. Eating shrimp cocktail with a fork.
Yeah.
The hell?
Yeah. Get him out of here. Look, he might have been a villain, but we have not talked about the real villain here. Ron Dellums, how dare you? Where the hell do you get off, Mr. Dellums? My mouth was wide open. Dorian Missick playing Ron Dellums. It was such a good role for him because the whole time I was like, that Ron Dellums, he's something. That's a good guy. You know, she can really, at least Charlie got Ron Dellums in her corner. This man betrayed the movement, betrayed Shirley. And I waited, Mari. I waited until the end of the movie because I was like, show me that he died unhappy, surrounded by misery. And then the movement, like and Shirley laughed at this man as she went on to prominence and became a husband. Nope. He lived an old age, died surrounded by loved ones, including Shirley. They best friends. Yeah. Mari,
he was mayor. I think he was mayor at one point.
Yeah. For a bunch of years, for a long time.
Yeah.
First black mayor in Oakland, all kinds of. What? Latanya, he can't just get away with this.
Apparently he can.
No.
And he did.
I won't stand for it. I won't
History
stand for it.
History tells us a different story. Unfortunately, there is a long history of people screwing over black women and then thriving.
Look no further than Ron here. Mark, I'm telling you, I was looking for the revenge plot at the end. I was like, we're doing the like, where are they now type situation. Bet I'm seated. Tell me about Ron. I was waiting. And they're like, no, they cool. Him and Shirley was cool. That was cool, wasn't it?
I mean, the moment once it happened and she's like, tell him, come on home, whatever.
I said,
whatever.
Girl, no.
We always forgiven people who have squashed us, you know? I don't know.
Yeah,
she's a Christian.
She is.
You know
about that—not the Christianity, but like, what are our thoughts on Shirley's movements when it comes to who she decided to give her time to versus who she did?
Huh?
Yeah,
this is a good question. So we see
you got set up. Yeah,
yeah. I was like, well, we see throughout the film that Shirley is drawn in different directions. You know, her family is saying, hey, could you cut this out? You're making a spectacle. You're not going to win president. You're embarrassing us. And then you got, you know, the larger political movement. People saying, step down, get out of the way, you know, support our black asses because we have a better chance at you. And then we see even bigger adversaries in the white community coming up in the form of George Wallace. And he does suffer a ridiculous accident that leaves him potentially paralyzed because he's almost assassinated, I guess. Is it assassination if it's a political figure, I guess? There's an assassination attempt on her competitor, George Wallace's life. He's shot several times, five, I believe. Like, this man is like the 50 Cent of the movement or the anti-movement because he just keeps bouncing back. He thinks he's going to be paralyzed. And Shirley decides to use this moment to go and extend a Christian hand to him and go sit by his hospital side and pray for him. And this is controversial because people are like, girl, that man hates us. He is racist. He doesn't like us. And you spending your time over there with him. So what's up? Shirley says she's a Christian. She's rooting for everybody to be the best versions of themselves. And as a Christian, that's her job to make sure that she can do whatever she can to do that. But Mari, it sounds like you were not impressed by Shirley's movement here.
No, it was just very interesting to me. So like between them asking her to go to the Gary, Indiana, what was it, like a black the Black Caucus? What
It was
was it
something
really?
like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess just go in attendance versus going to what was it, a country talk to a
An
country
all
club,
male.
all male, all white male country club in Florida, and she picks to go there. And like her, some of her staffers are begging her to go to the Black Caucus. And Barbara Lee here, who I thought was a pretty good character. I was wondering how truthful this character was. You know how there's like some characters where you're like, is this, did this actually happen? Or are they the one character that they drop in a historical movie to like forward the plot? But
Like
apparently
Rustin.
she's real because she
Yeah.
popped up at the end.
Yeah.
I was like,
Oh.
oh, snap, Barbara. But anyways, but Barbara's like, surely, like, she's trying to get her hooked up with the Black Panther Party. She's trying to like, she's like, why aren't you going to these Black places? We're trying to get you to go to these Black places and you're not going. And Shirley's basically like, they're not asking women to speak there. They want me to show up, but they're not asking me to speak. She name drops Betty Shabazz. Like, nobody is, they're not letting women speak. And so she goes on and say, like, Black men just want to run. They don't want to listen to us. And it's very interesting. I thought it was very, very interesting. And I liked it because it's like, it's not just the picture perfect ideal of what you think, because the backbone of her campaign, and you can still see it, is she wants to talk for the people, speak up for the people. We see her talking with we see her talking with domestic workers and stuff like that. And she's trying to be of the people. She doesn't want to do politics as usual, but it does feel weird that it's like, but you're skewing all the Black politics, But I thought it added a lot of good nuance. And so then when she does end up partnering with the Black Panther Party, I was like, wait, that was like a turn. I was like, but you gotta remember, like back then the Black Panthers were like good. I mean they're not saying they're not good, but I'm just saying, like, let me shut up.
They used to be
But
worth they used to be worth it used to be worth a damn, you know? The
yeah.
Black Panthers ain't what they used to be. I agree with
Wait, I
That scene was fun.
yeah, they weren't demonized like they like are today. Like, so it was very, very interesting. And I wish they focused more on California, because I feel like a lot of what I know about her is from California, but it felt like it wasn't like as highlighted here, other than the talk with the Black Panther movement. But yeah, I just found that very interesting that she chose her engagements specifically, and half of the time it was against the will of her campaign.
Yeah, literally everybody was begging, kicking, and screaming to get her to just do the logical thing, but she was going where she felt like she was drawn to, that she could make the best impact. And there were moments throughout this where I was like, okay, but like if she keep moving like this, there's no way. Like I know the
The black
spoiler
vote,
alert, she's not gonna win. But at the same time, I was like, you're not gonna get close, you keep acting like this. You know, these people are at least trying to make you see reason. Latanya, do you think a part of the reason why we don't see a lot of California is because Shirley was so against even talking about California? I mean, every time they brought it up, she's like, nope, we ain't gonna get no delegates there, so might as well shut it down.
I guess the one thing that I will say about this movie is I thought the structure was a little odd. Like they skip around in time a lot. But like Mari said, they're not focusing on what most people know her from, which is California. I mean, I can understand from a narrative perspective how they would say, because she was against focusing her energy on in California, then the movie should not focus on California either. But like, I feel like that's deleting a big part of the plot that we need to go forward. Because if you look at it and just like, not as like a Regina King vehicle or like as a vehicle for all of these amazing Black talents, this is a movie ostensibly about a person who ran for president and lost horribly, right? So you have to, like, as like just for the audience, give us highs and in mm-hmm. addition to the lows. And I feel like that there would have been more highs in California, even if ultimately it didn't go her way.
Right. I'd agree. Yeah. I'd say that there were, Mari, tons of moments where you feel like you're watching a story of triumph. And then they say, okay, that went well. Let's read the results. What are we looking at in polls? It's like, all right, you got less than 1% of the vote this time. That's an improvement, right?
It's very funny. It's like right after the California, the Black Panther Party announcement, they're like, yeah, we got to get behind Shirley Chisholm. And the next thing you know, it's like, McGovern wins the state. She got less than 4%. I was like, oh, okay. And they did that several times. It was incredibly hilarious to me, like not in an intentional way, but it was like mm-hmm. they definitely lingered on the good moments and the historical moments in her. It's so weird, right? Because there are things that I really wish they elaborated on that they didn't, because I guess because it's Shirley, it's called Shirley, so it's mm-hmm. about Shirley, so they can't elaborate on some of the things, like LaTanya said, the women's movement. They couldn't talk about how the women's movement really like turned their back on her. The most we got is like a line. She's like, where are the women? I showed up for them. They didn't show up for me, you know?
Or that was it though.
Like, that was it. Yeah. If you wanted more like nuanced, like a more nuanced portrayal of what happened between Shirley Chisholm and the women's equal rights movement, you can watch Miss Americana on Hulu. It was an FX show. It was
Mrs.
really
America,
good.
I think Americana is the Taylor Swift.
The Taylor Swift documentary.
You're right. Yeah. It is Miss America. Yes, Mrs. America. You're right.
Really good show.
Stupid Taylor Swift. So, no, I'm just like, yeah. It was great.
Uh oh.
It was really good too. They was both good for different reasons.
Yes. Not her stealing another. No, anyway.
It was Americana. So... Mari, please.
I'm sorry.
They're coming.
LaTanya came on her first and last episode ever of the recap kickback.
Yes, you're right. It was called Mrs. America, and it was very good. Yeah. Uzo Doba did a great job as Shirley Chisholm. That was an amazing story about the women's equal rights movement, even though it was told from the point of view of the woman who was trying to stop it. So great. But anyways, yeah. So I felt like the lawsuit against the media and stuff like that. I would have loved to hear more about that.
Yeah, that's cool.
But it was like, are we going to do this lawsuit? They're thinking about taking on this lawsuit. Let's do this lawsuit. We won the lawsuit. I was
Remember the lawsuit? It's a really big deal that Shirley Chisholm is responsible for equal time and the FCC regulations the way that they still are today. And I feel like other than a frightened Lucas Hedges, which is like his default stance throughout the entirety of this movie, just afraid to do stuff that people keep asking him to do, and then doing it anyway.
Yeah.
We didn't get anything. We got nothing about that. And that's a really big deal. Like that in California. Those two things should be focal points in this movie.
And did we even see the debate?
No.
We saw her do her debates. Like the straight
for 30 minutes camera, by herself. Yeah.
Yes.
We heard how good she is at debating.
Mm-hmm. We but did.
I would like to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This feels like a character study of Shirley and not Shirley the person we know. I think her identity and like her historical figure and her identity is tied to like in one like to us, so we're like, that's a part of her. Why aren't you talking about those things? It's like if somebody showed you a Martin Luther King movie and they were like, yeah, he did some speech on, you know, there was a march, but it's fine. Let's talk about how he was at church. And we're like, but really, you want to talk about how he was at church? That you got us here to talk about Martin Luther King, and that's what you're gonna talk about? You know, and so yeah, I think it's kind of similar to that, where it's like it was showing us a lot about the person, and I think we don't get to learn about Shirley Chisholm the person, so I appreciate that. But I think you're right. I think that there's so much more that I now want to know. I'm always like, Shirley the sequel, you know, because Shirley the remix. I just, you know, even when you bring up Lucas Hedges, I haven't even mentioned him yet, but you know, like he was doing what he does, Lucas Hedges things. But there's a moment where he does have to go and sue the big television networks. And she's like, yeah, I want you to press charges. I want you to file a lawsuit. Yeah, go do that. And he's like, what? She's like, yeah, go do that. That's normal. And he goes
as
off
a
and
law then we, student, by the way.
Yeah. As a law student. Yeah. And he's like, with no money. The man has no money. Shirley and them have no money. She's have every dime. No money. They are the brokest people who've ever run for president. And she's like, yeah, go sue them and see what happens. Then he comes back like 30 minutes later, like, by the way, we won. Like, oh.
Well, we lost the first one, but we won the second one.
Right. We knew we were gonna lose the first one, so that don't count. Just yada yada yada. Yeah. We will
yada yada yada.
Right. And you're like, damn, was it that easy? Was it just like, what did you say? Right. Did Shirley have to speak? We know nothing about
that. We got absolutely nothing about that lawsuit.
Yeah. but we do learn a lot about Shirley's background and her family, or at least enough about her family to know that her family, amongst the many people who were not in agreement that this woman should be running for president. Mari, I know you said you felt bad for her. This is Regina King's actual sister playing Muriel. Oh, what? Yeah, that's her actual biological sister. That's what they look like.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Kind of dope, huh? Yeah. So, yeah. So I'm like, that's dope, but your sister really hates you in this movie. Can we just, we don't want to, like,
her sister was a hater from jump. I was like, oh no. Like,
the minute she
then to have that conversation where she's like, yeah, she's like, you were treated special. You're doing this because of dad treated you special. And then you get this long, like, he had four daughters, but he left all his money to you. I was like, oh, that's why you're mad. Like, it was like, oh, this is brutal, man. Just brutal. And then her sister calls her. She's like, you ain't special. You're not anything special. And it was just, I was like, man, this is harsh. I mean, she's not wrong in the sense of, like, this ain't working. You're just throwing all your money away. And she's telling Shirley, like, you make your family, you make everybody feel like nothing around you. I was like, dang, jabs, body shots, like,
mink, mink, just, mink, mink.
Yeah, I did feel bad because I think, again, this is what you guys were saying. This is where the character study comes in, because we're kind of like seeing Shirley's life, her personal life, take huge hits here between her sister and her mother, her relationship with two of them, to also her relationship with Conrad, which we talked about a little bit. You know, like, so it was, yeah. I like these moments because these are the moments we don't know about. You're not going to read these moments in the history books, but also it's like, damn.
Like, yeah. Her sister, like, from the moment that she's on screen, she's just given the stank eye to mm-hmm. Shirley. Like, just immediate, I don't like you. I won't even say goodbye to you at your own party kind of vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there she
Look
goes.
Look at that.
That's right now. Yeah.
Aww.
I just thought they had similar names.
Yes. Put two and Raina, two together. Raina King and Regina mm-hmm. King right there next Whoa. To each other. Yeah. Yeah,
their parents love some queens, don't they? A pair of queens.
Yeah. Well, look. Yeah. If you got if you're watching this on YouTube, then yeah, we got the picture up. It is a picture of Raina, John Ridley, and Regina King on the red carpet, Netflix, like, kind of, well, red carpet, but on the premiere for the Netflix unveiling here in California. But yeah, that's her real life sister, and I believe it's her acting debut as well.
Oh, well, she did do a good job of playing a stank sister, so
mega hater.
She did. Yeah. It was a nice moment when she finally talked to her sister on the phone.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Like, yeah. When her sister finally stopped being a hater at the very end of the movie.
Her sister and her mama kind of too, you know, just through proxy.
Yeah, after she lost. Now that you're done with this, we think you did a great job.
Mm-hmm. Now, please don't do it again. Please don't do it again. Yeah. Lasagna Mari mentioned Conrad and throughout this film. And, you know, again, if this is a character study on Shirley Chisholm, I don't know why you would present her like this unless it was accurate. You know, like, what did this woman do to you to make her make her seem like this? Because Conrad, from what we can tell, it looks like a loving, supporting husband who has been shunned to the background, like Regina King's sister, like in this movie as well. Oh, Muriel God. In this movie, not Regina King's sister, Shirley's sister in the movie, like almost playing second fiddle to her, and in a way that is not the most becoming. I the interaction between the two of them, I was like, yeah, just break up. Just go ahead and get a divorce.
Yeah. like, there are things about it that I can understand, though. But you also have to look at them from, like, the perspective of somebody in the 1970s, a man in the 1970s. Like, if I, in this day and age, in 2024, had a long trip after a long day in the office, and I finally get home, if there is not dinner ready for me, then we are done. That is the end of our relationship. But in the 1970s, men just didn't do things like that. Like, they didn't think that, I mean, many men still don't, but they just didn't think that it was like a part of their role, right? Like, he thought of himself as a protector. He was her bodyguard. He was her photographer. But that was not necessary. That was only part of the role that she wanted him to play. And some men just can't deal with women that outshine them.
And I mean, I don't know if that's, if Conrad was like that, but I mean, like, it was, it's tough because I think it was both ways. Like, he didn't support her in the ways that she needed him to support her, but in the ways he thought he could, which is two different things. That happens in relationships a lot. You think you're doing what you need to be doing, but you're not doing what they need you to be doing. And so you have that, but then Shirley, you know, when we get to the part where they're arguing over money and Shirley's about to put in like
$46,000.
Oh, too much money in the 70s, for sure.
$36,000, which is like $36,000 now.
Like $1 million, straight up.
And he's like apprehensive about it because, again, by this point, the campaign is struggling. It is on its last, it is limping. And Shirley goes, "It's my money." And he was like, "Well, then why are we even talking?" I was like, "Damn!" Like, she didn't.
I mean, that was a good point. Like, when she yelled, "It's my money," I was like, "Ooh,
yeah." He like, "But girl, I'm hungry too. You know, like, it's your money, but I wish you'd save some of it. Like, I really didn't think that's what I was signing up for when I said for richer or poorer. I didn't think you would just go just start throwing our money away." The man goes and gets the checkbook and like, "Here, damn!" And I'm thinking, you know, at home, I'm like, "Okay, Conrad, walk out. You know, you deserve better." I see him with the camera just over the corner. I said, "God damn it, Conrad, stand up. Stand up, man." I really thought he was done.
He stayed another 5 years.
He stormed out like he was really about to do something. Came back, gave her that checkbook. I was like, because he said, "Look, you're right. I got to eat and I got to sleep. So you're writing checks. Go ahead and write one. But also, we got to eat, you know, like, keep writing them." Yeah. So it was very interesting dynamic. Cause like you said, Latonya, in the '70s, a lot of people were probably looking at him crazy. Like, "Oh, you just letting Shirley just run you like that?" And then at the same time, he wasn't doing a great job all the time. You know, she come home wanting food and there ain't no food. And he's like, "What's up?" And he's like, "I've been waiting on you to get here all night." He sleep on the couch waiting on her. So it just felt like they were missing the mark on each other.
Yeah, like, right. Seriously.
Yeah. He like passed out, you know. So I'm like,
"He ain't sleep. He ain't sleep for dinner."
Yeah, he ain't sleep for dinner. Been there, done that. And so so I feel you, Conrad. But yeah, Shirley obviously could do better. Like I said, there are some longing glances. There's definitely the breakup between Shirley and Conrad slowly happening on camera. We see that even during some of her interviews, they're holding hands. And then seconds later, he's like, "Get off me," you know. And so we knew that was going to end poorly. But then, of course, the plot twisted. If you're Mari, you didn't see it coming. But Terrence Howard is looming, and he, these lights came in with their light eyes. You know, it's only going to be so long before this woman crumbles, and you know, it doesn't happen on camera, but later on she does go on to marry Arthur, and they were married until they both passed. So you know, happy ending right there for it in some ways. Not so happy for Conrad, but maybe he's happier now that it's over. So next thing I want to talk about. In this movie, you know, we get a star-studded cast, but, you know, oftentimes in these civil rights movies, we do have, like, you know, the opposition that is not the opposition from within, right? We get the people who are supposed to be in their camp that don't believe in them. We saw Rustin had a lot of those issues because he was a gay man. And so it was like, "Oh, they all the haters on the inside, like these people that we've known as political figures our whole life, come to find out mega haters when it comes to Bear Rustin." And here with Shirley Chisholm, we had the same thing. I mean, We talked about Rondella, but seriously, the man just completely led her astray throughout the entire film. Just, he was with her, he was with her, he was with her until he wasn't. And then everybody started to sharpen their political knives. Now, the funniest part about this is that all of this is for not LaTanya, because they're going to go, the Democratic Party loses this election. They're not going to win.
Yeah.
I love knowing history. I was like, I know all of this
to go lose to a crook.
A crooked criminal.
And like Shirley said, you know, giving up everything you have for scraps from the table as opposed to trying to take it yourself. It's like there was nobody, no one believed in this woman except for people in her extreme inner circle. And even at times they were like, this is ridiculous. Dabbing, like, don't you think we should stop?
Yeah.
I really understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I really wish they had outlined what they were fighting for by the time that they had lost. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like I picked it up, but I also feel like it would have been nice to get, like, tell it to me like I'm five. Like, so, like, they're fighting for control of delegates because, you know, we have an electoral college system for the convention, for the primary. You have to hit a certain number. They said it. McGovern had to hit 1,500 delegates in order to get on the ticket. Once a lot of these little smaller candidates realized they weren't going to win the presidency, the move shifted to get as many delegates as you possibly could so that you can then leverage your delegates to get what you want on the ticket. So for some people, like maybe Ron Dellums or Fauntleroy, who might have gotten Secretary of Treasury, we don't know what he was promised. But like
housing, they always, housing, they always yeah. housing, niggas housing, yeah.
They gave a heart surgeon
housing. Make it make sense.
He deserved it though.
He definitely did deserve it.
He deserved less. He deserved way less.
But anyways, you know, so like so at the end where we're thinking like, oh, Shirley's about to have 250 delegates, she's about to use this power to tell McGovern like we want, I don't think she's going to use it to leverage political power for herself, but she was going to want to push certain issues, and it all just crumbled because the people who were promising her stuff got there, got to the event, either made a better deal or we don't know. They don't really go into what the back deals were. We just have to sit and speculate. But they end up not telling their delegates to back her. So she lost any kind of political capital that she had. And she couldn't get any of her, from what it showed, what it seemed like, she couldn't get any of her, like, reforms or changes. She couldn't get heard for anything, any issues that she wanted to be addressed. So tough ending for Shirley.
Yeah.
I know like our system still runs like this, but it doesn't feel like it runs like this because sadly, as time has gotten on, they've kind of made it so this doesn't happen. This exact situation doesn't happen where a major candidate can't get all of the delegates. They try and make the party as united as possible, both parties, blah 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 blah. So but it was a little interesting lesson in civics if you're paying attention.
When I watch a biopic, what I like to do is put Four Dummies behind the title. So okay. Shirley Four Dummies, Rustin for Dummies.
Yes, right.
Like, just because we are well versed in the system of delegates and the Electoral College doesn't mean that other people watching this movie are.
Yeah.
You're supposed to show, not tell.
Yeah.
And I feel like this movie did a lot of telling. Like, for example, all the way early in the movie, when she first gets elected to Congress and she's able to talk herself out of being appointed to the Agriculture Committee. Mm-hmm. How?
I'd
love to see it.
The last thing we saw was her yelling at that man saying no.
No, and then the next,
they were not walking away. And next thing we know, the white guy was like, no offense, I just don't know his name personally. He was like, oh, you changed and you got on a different committee. I was like, what? That actually worked?
Like, girl, we saw you lose. We thought you lost that fight. You know,
we thought you lost that fight.
Yeah, no, I agree. The Agriculture Committee fight was one, because I think she's talking to Speaker of the House McCormick at the time, and he's more threatened more than anything about the amount she's getting paid. He's like, you making roughly $40,000 a year, like. Wasn't that McCormick? Yeah, I believe.
No, it was a different white guy that told her she was making too much money.
Too many.
They all like when they take that picture in front of the Capitol building. They, I'm just like, who are these clones?
Yeah,
like how do you get so many white men that look alike in the same picture?
Yeah, they said she. Yeah. They said is she the first black female congresswoman?
Yeah.
And they
skimmed over that.
They kind of yada yada it. They do. Yeah. It's in the first 10 minutes of the movie we find out that she is the first black woman elected to Congress.
But you know what we do know right away? Mm-hmm. She loves McDonald's.
She loves McDonald's. She loves her McDonald's. She's from Barbados because we get a lot of the accent. We get a lot of the Bahamas in there. But we do know that. I mean, maybe that's a character trait for her. Maybe like when people talk about her, they're like, man, she always had her McDonald's on hand because she made sure to point it out a couple times throughout the film. I don't know. You know, as we talk it through, I feel like there's just a lot of missed opportunities to really tell the story. If you're looking at this the way LaTanya was talking about it as Shirley for Dummies, I really feel like if I'm a kid, I should be able to watch this and be like, man, that's who I want to do my book report on, you know, or I don't have to do a book report anymore because I've seen the movie, you know, maybe that. But here, I'm like, I have to do a lot more research into this to really be able to tell the story, you know, of Shirley Chisholm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that even me knowing vaguely what was going on around time, being able to watch the movie and put those things together, I still don't think I have, like, if you told me to give you the Shirley Chisholm, you know, the one pager, I feel like it would be very by the numbers like this, you know, like, ran for president. You know, women's movement endorsed by the Black Panthers. Mari, that was one of my favorite scenes when she sat down with Huey Newton. The conversation is so funny because I think he's like a 30-year-old Black man and she's almost 50 at the time, and he is not suffering her stuff at all. He's like, hey, bro. Straight up, what are you here to do? What do you come for? Because you feel, to me, you're feeling a little unfamiliar. I'm not liking it. And she quickly turns him around. You know, the next, almost the next scene, we see that she has the support of the Black. Yeah. But Mari, you're right. Kind of would like to see it. You know, what does it look like with Shirley and the Black Panthers?
Right. Like, I would have loved for them to flesh that out. Like, Huey being like, you call this shameful. She's like, no, I said it's a shame that you were necessary because, you know, the failures of government. I loved a lot of her nuanced speeches about, like, because that's stuff that we're thinking about right now. It's like, we're putting band-aids over bullet wounds, trying to fix some of this political stuff, and it's just not working. And Shirley was about fixing the overall systemic things, you know, and the Black Panthers were too, you know. So it was very good. I thought that was a great interaction at Diane Carroll's house. Like,
and Diane Carroll's house.
LaTanya, did you know this?
No. When they said, when Huey wants a neutral place to meet, and they said, where? At Diane Carroll's house. I was like, what?
What's like happening? On purpose?
Like, I know who Diane Carroll is. Why is this considered a neutral place to meet? And how did she get to the status? And that's so cool. And I feel like we got like a 5-minute scene between Diane and Shirley. I'd like probably the movie to be more about California because it would mean we get more Diane Carroll.
Yeah, that's real. Diane Carroll played by Amira Van. I know her best. I don't know if y'all recognize her, but I know her best from How to Get Away with Murder. She said Laura Castillo, you know. So every time I see her, I think Miss Castillo, you know. She's I don't think she's a detective, but I think she is a detective in How to Get Away with Murder. She's an attorney. She's Tegan. She's always coming to showing up, Miss Castillo. So the whole time I'm watching, I couldn't I couldn't unsee Castillo the whole time. But it was so dope, you know. Diane Carroll, who we lost not too long ago as well. You know, it's so weird now, I guess, being of a certain age now, where a lot of these people who are in these biopics, I'm like, oh, I was around when they were alive. You know, it felt like when I was a child, the people they were talking about were like older political figures a lot of times. Like, oh, that guy's probably passed away, you know, or are you about to? And now it's like, oh, it's just Diane Carroll. And they're like, wait, oh, yeah. You know, damn. You know, poor one out for Diane Carroll. Definitely a plot twist I was not expecting. I think Shirley was even surprised too. She was like, "We going to Diane Carroll's house?"
That was funny.
That Diane Carroll?
Yeah. But I think overall a good film. You know, like I said, I thought I liked the fact that we did get so many references that we knew about people that we had heard about, and even some lesser known names in this movement, where it's like these were just Shirley's advisors, you know, people that were you know, very important to her, but may not be able to get their flowers in history. Also, Mari, of course, outlined that Barbara Lee is in the film, and then by the end, she's telling her story, being that Shirley is one of her mentors. And so that's fun. But I think overall for me, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was cool, but I cannot lie and say I didn't want more. So like I said, LaTanya, we're waiting on Shirley 2. Shirley's Revenge.
Yeah, Shirley 2, Cruise Control.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Shirley 2, exactly. Electric Boogaloo. Yeah.
Shirley, again,
Shirley, some more. Shirley too much to handle.
Shirley too much to handle.
Back in habit.
Shirley too, bad boys for life. You know, all that to say, for me, I could have used some more Shirley in my Shirley, but it was a great job from all the actors. I loved it. I will tell people to watch it, but at the same time, you know, I might say, go watch some more stuff too. Get into it. Get into the legacy and the life of Shirley Chisholm, because it was a very interesting documentary about a very interesting woman, LaTanya.
Yeah. I mean, a woman who paved the way for basically all of the women that are in positions of power in Congress today. So, yeah, everyone thanks Shirley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And watch this movie.
Yeah. Mari, final words about Shirley?
Yeah, it honestly, great movie, well acted. We did get the character moments about her. I feel like I know more about Shirley Chisholm herself, but definitely need to go brush up on my history about her and what she did that's so long lasting, you know? But I really enjoyed it, and I definitely suggest as many people as possible go watch it. It was great.
Yep, agreed. All right. Well, that wraps up our coverage of Shirley. It was a great time. LaTanya, thank you so much for coming. Again, if you have any suggestions, LaTanya, any recommendations that you would want us to talk about here on Recap Kickback, you're welcome back all the time. Come on back. Come chop it up with us. People don't know this, but this is the biggest pro Gail Bean podcast ever existed.
Yes.
And she's got a lot of stuff in the works. We know the Snowfall spinoff is coming soon. And so, LaTanya, we ain't talking about Wanda without you. So definitely be prepared to come back.
I'm so excited. The Venusance is on us. It's upon us.
The Venusance. Yes. Well, LaTanya, in the meantime, tell people where they can find you and what you're up to.
Well, right now I am making the rounds on some podcasts, having a good time. I guessed it on Silent Podcast, I Don't Know About That, with Gia, where we talked about the first episode of Survivor. So that was like one of the only times I've ever talked about Survivor on a podcast. I love Survivor now. That's a new development. I'm excited about that. I've been on the Movie Ladder podcast back to back. First we talked about Poor Things, and then we talked about Barbie, because I've always wanted to talk about Barbie on a podcast, and that happened. So you can check me out there. And then you can check me out every week on the Top Chef Wrap Up with Haley and Kurt, where we break down every new episode of Top Chef. There's a new one happening tonight. The whole new season, no Padma, but Kristen Kish is the new host, and she's doing a really good job. Plus, they've like introduced some new twists in the show that I'm getting used to. I'm not sold yet, but I'm getting used to it. And then if you want to know more of LK Starks, or on Instagram at Stormborn1222.
Give me your tag, your plugs one more time. Yeah. Your social media handles one more time, please.
If you want to know what I'm up to, you can follow me on Twitter at LK Starks, or on Instagram at Stormborn1222.
All right. Thank you, LaTanya. And again, thank you so for happy having to have me. You back.
I had so much fun.
No, this was a great time for sure. Mari.
Yes.
What's up? What you got going on?
Well, of course, every week me and Sarah Carradine bring True Crime Tuesdays to RJP over on the Crime Scene Podcast. So if you like hearing us review documentaries, docuseries, just go over there and check us out. You can find us on robhasawebsite.com/crimefeed. That's robhasawebsite.com/crimefeed in order to subscribe. You can also find me and Matt Scott every week on the Wrestling Rehackle podcast, where we bring you the highlights of the week in wrestling. We're WrestleMania is here. We are literally on the road. We will be there in mere days. So if you want to follow us as we go to WrestleMania in person, you can go to the Wrestling Rehab Up YouTube page, youtube.com/@WrestlingRehabUp. Again, that's youtube.com/@WrestlingRHAPUP. And we're going to do like little shorts about us like going to Philly and meeting up with a lot of like wrestling podcasts that we've done content with. So it's going to be so fun. So make sure you're subscribed to us, and also follow Rehabgrams, because I think we're going to take that over as well. It's just going to be so fun. So, subscribe. You can listen by going to robhasawebsite.com/wrestlingfeed as well. You can find me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two. And, I post everything I'm doing over there.
Shadow. All right. Thank you, Mari. And as for me, Recap Kickback is where you can find me doing all of my best work here. We got a lot coming your way, but it's a blast every time. So make sure you're subscribed to Recap Kickback. Go to recapkickback.com/subscribe. Join the Facebook group, recapkickback.com/Facebook. Add us on all social media at Recap Kickback to let us know what you want to hear us talk about. I'm also guesting on another podcast soon. I don't know if it's too early for me to reveal that one for them, so I'll wait. But I'm doing RJP, the RJP Bravo feed every week with Sasha, talking about Below Deck. So if you're a fan of Below Deck or the drama on Bravo, check me out over there with Sasha. Every Wednesday we go live on YouTube to talk about Below Deck. And then Josh Wigler and I have been talking about Three Body Problem on Netflix. It's the number one show on Netflix, and it's a great time talking about it. But, I mean, it's a crazy show. We had special guest Christian Hubicki on, so check it out on the Nothing But Netflix podcast to keep up with all the stuff we have going on over there and to keep up with whatever Netflix shows we're talking about. I guess we stole this one, so we can't talk about Nothing But Netflix. Yeah. But, also, you can see me on the Was It Good Though podcast, where they talk about different television shows and movies and talk about, was it actually even any good? They will be talking about Nutty Professor, and I'm there to join them. I'll tweet out my guest. Come and do that. maybe I'll send them your information, Mari. But the Was It Good Though podcast, friends of this podcast officially, check me out over there. And then of course follow me at Recap Kickback to keep up with everything else. Dylan O'Dell Island, again, a lot of stuff going on. Check me out on RHAP, check me out here at Recap Kickback, until next time, for LaTanya, for Mari, and for myself, you ain't gotta go home, but you gotta get the hell up out of here. We will talk to you all later. Peace. Wait on life, I wanna hold my breath, I'ma get in my goddamn self.